Chapter 2. Understanding AI and its Impact. In the 2013 film Her, a lonely Theodore Twomley, played by Joaquin Phoenix, installs an artificially intelligent virtual assistant that calls herself Samantha. Voiced by Scarlett Johansson, the AI companion proves not only capable of entirely reorganizing Theodore's life, but turns out to be so charmingly engaging and human-like that Theodore falls in love with her. Toward the end of the movie, it's revealed that the fictional AI is processing millions of requests and having millions of simultaneous conversations behind the movie script. In fact, this is what real AIs can do. As a result, in the movie, she has the processing power to mine that big data set in order to simulate a personalized, albeit non-human, one-on-one relationship. But sadly, when Theodore finds out that Samantha is having those simultaneous conversations with millions of other people, he feels personally betrayed. A darker Hollywood version of AI can be found in the Terminator franchise. In it, a network of powerful defense computers, Skynet, gains self-awareness and decides humans are a threat to its existence. In the not-too-distant future, the storyline goes, it launches a preemptive nuclear war to wipe out most of humanity. It then designs and builds fearsome cyborgs, the eponymous Terminators, to mop up the remaining humans and kill resistance fighters. Somehow, thanks to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Linda Hamilton, the AIs are defeated. Both of these narratives about artificial intelligence are compelling stories, but they also feed our misconceptions. The point is not to personify the technology, but to understand its potential benefits. The non-Hollywood reality is both more prosaic and, for businesses, more exciting. The important fact is that AI is capable of extraordinary feats. It can free humans from repetitive tasks and exponentially increase the value that businesses can deliver. It can also identify useful patterns in gargantuan arrays of information and generate surprisingly high-quality, original written, visual, and auditory content. At its most basic level, AI encompasses any computing function that mimics the fundamental functions of human intelligence. AI analyzes incoming historical data to find repeating behaviors and outcomes, inferring patterns from that information and learning from the patterns in order to better predict what will happen and recommend solutions. Basically, AI is trying to be as smart and intuitive as humans, while potentially transcending human limitations like fatigue, boredom, the need to eat and drink, and bias. The evolution of artificial intelligence. In the 1950s and 60s, the concept of AI was already in place, but we lacked the big data and the computing power to make it a reality. Companies were still working with large mainframe computers. Storage capacity was minuscule and processing speeds were slow. To illustrate, a typical iPhone today has over 1 million times more memory and over 100,000 times the processing power of the Apollo guidance computer used to land men on the moon in 1969. However, as Moore's Law predicted, all that has changed. With time, the machines became smaller, and their capacity to store and analyze data became far greater. They could perform billions of calculations per second. Finally, there was sufficient computing power to handle the influx of data for AI to handle. Then along came the internet. Gradually, we all went online, communicating, sharing, creating. The world became smaller, because people were now sharing their thoughts, preferences, and beliefs with each other and a growing number of companies and organizations. Suddenly, the world was flooded with data about people, businesses, and institutions. It became easier to start looking at trends, to find the patterns in what people were thinking, liked, and didn't like. The nature of the data itself also changed. Early on, much of the world's data was structured data, which I alluded to in Chapter 1. Structured data fits into predetermined formats, in rows and columns or records and fields. It is organized in a predictable way, such as banking records, name and address information from an online form, and ISBN information for books. It's the kind of data you might find in an Excel spreadsheet, typically heavy on dates, numbers, and organized or classified facts. However, as social media posts, emails, video, photographs, audio files, and other types of richer content became a larger part of the online world, the amount of unstructured data became overwhelming. Remember when I talked about depositing a check using a mobile app as an example of AI? The image of your check, which the AI software analyzes to determine if it's valid for deposit, is one kind of unstructured data. As you might expect, analyzing such data, which is rarely labeled and is often subtle or ambiguous in meaning, requires unprecedented levels of computing sophistication. That was the essence of AI and of its more sophisticated subsets. Machine learning refers to artificial intelligence in which algorithms learn automatically and improve as they are exposed to more and more data. This can involve different degrees of supervision, using training data sets with varying levels of human oversight. For example, say that you want your AI system to be able to differentiate an image of a cat from that of a dog. You would instruct the computer to analyze thousands or perhaps millions of images of all kinds of cats and dogs, each one labeled as such. Over time, the AI would learn which characteristics were associated with the idea of cat as opposed to dog or human. Like a child who learns from repeated experiences, the machine learns with repeated exposure to data without being programmed. Another example of machine learning is speech recognition. When you turn on a new iPhone, you can't use Siri until you follow the operating system's prompts to speak a predetermined set of voice commands, allowing the remote AI linked to your phone by the cloud, more on that in a little while, to learn to recognize your voice. In less than a minute, with a simple, "Hey Siri," you can set reminders, launch apps, and call friends. Finally, there is deep learning. This involves what computer scientists call neural networks, mathematical systems modeled on the neural structure of the human brain. The precise definition of this is complex, but the shorthand is that deep learning / neural networks employ multiple layers of processing and analysis simultaneously, allowing the system to identify far more complex characteristics and patterns within data than could be accomplished by simpler machine learning algorithms. In this way, deep learning mimics the dynamic activity of the human brain, which is highly plastic and adaptable. This requires enormous amounts of data and processing power, made possible by advances in cloud computing. A well-known example of deep learning is Facebook's ability to identify individuals based on the facial features in photographs. In November 2021, Facebook announced plans to shut down this system, for reasons we will discuss in Chapter 4. This task is far more complex than learning to differentiate cat versus dog, by recognizing that cats are more likely to have pointed ears and facial stripe patterns. Identifying a known individual by a photograph requires identifying thousands of visual data points, and then correlating them with what could be hundreds or thousands of text files associated with different user accounts that pair the person's name with images containing similar data points, all while accounting for variations in lighting, angle, image quality, and other variables. Apple's Photos application uses deep learning in a similar way when it automatically groups user photos into albums, based on date and location stamps, and contextual clues such as facial features and physical surroundings. This is what Google and OpenAI did with GPT-3, a natural language processing, NLP, AI. By feeding its neural net trillions of bits of textual data, they developed an artificial intelligence that learned the common sequences and cadences of human writing and speech. After all, human communication is fairly predictable. For example, if a friend accidentally texts you the partial phrase, "Would you like to go to the..." There are only so many words that make sense to complete that sentence. Words like movies, store, or ballgame. You can predict with high accuracy that when your friend texts the final word in her message, it won't be bagel or infection. A neural net learns to make the same predictions. That's why after months of looking for patterns in titanic quantities of written material, GPT-3 was able to complete people's written sentences to a high degree of accuracy after they had typed only a few words. Humans, it turns out, are pretty predictable if you have enough data. To date, GPT-3 has analyzed trillions of words in sources ranging from ebooks to blogs to social media and Wikipedia listings. As a result of this large-scale machine learning, it has developed an uncanny ability not just to compose startlingly compelling prose in microseconds, but to write poetry, tweet, answer trivia questions, and even generate its own computer code. The New York Times described one example when one of the project's programmers asked GPT-3 to emulate pop psychologist Scott Barry Kaufman's writing voice. When asked the question, "How do we become more creative?" the AI's partial response was, "I think creative expression is a natural byproduct of growing up in a diverse world. The more diverse the world is, the more you get exposed to different people, to different opportunities, to different places, and to different challenges. And the more diverse that is, the more likely you'll be able to put the dots together to form something new." Reached for comment, the real Kaufman admitted that the AI-generated answer was a fairly accurate simulacrum of his real writing. But what makes GPT-3 so exciting is that it has been showing emergent qualities, abilities that its developers didn't expect it to have. The developers designed the AI to predict the next word in a sequence of words. And in taking in more than 175 billion language usage patterns over subsequent months, the system independently developed the ability to perform tasks it had not been designed to do, such as writing code. You could say that it evolved and continues to evolve. AI customer service chatbots or digital assistants that summarize emails for busy executives are just the tip of the iceberg. As NLP systems like GPT-3 become more sophisticated, imagine a bot that could automatically write and update university textbooks with the latest research, or produce fine-tuned marketing copy based on an advertising agency's most recent batch of customer satisfaction data. Even more profound, AI language systems could assist a psychologist practicing telemedicine by composing exactly the right message to a patient who's having suicidal thoughts, or correct a dangerous error in the computer code governing an autonomous vehicle while the vehicle is on the highway. As you can imagine, fears and misunderstandings persist about what these technologies are, despite the fact that they are in use in virtually every segment of the economy. Think about it. If you order a recommended product from Amazon or use a mobile banking app to photograph a check to deposit it in your account, you're using AI. When your Nest thermostat automatically adjusts the temperature of your home in anticipation of your arrival from work, you're using a smart device. When your Fitbit tracks your daily steps and reminds you that to reach your average of the last 6 months, you need to walk another 2.2 miles today, that's big data at work. And when you access a file on Dropbox or share a Google Doc, you're using the cloud. If you aspire to take your business to new levels of growth and profitability, it's time to move past the fears and misconceptions about technologies like AI and understand their extraordinary potential. I refer to AI and its attendant technologies, including big data, smart devices, and cloud computing, as multipliers. They have the power to take the data that every company generates in the course of everyday operations, identify patterns that reveal critical weaknesses and opportunities, and supercharge that data to enable businesses to breed fierce customer loyalty, dominate existing markets, and innovate to create new markets. Deployed with precise strategy, these technologies can help your business grow revenues, profits, market share, and influence at a pace many times that of your competitors. Those that do not leverage them out of ignorance, comfort with the status quo, or fear of change will fall behind. In other words, with these technologies, the extraordinary has become the ordinary. The missing piece lies in understanding how you, as one of the leaders of your business, can use them to reveal areas of untapped hidden value in your business model, acquire the relevant data to begin leveraging that value, and take the right actions at the right time to turn that value into black ink on your bottom line. Throughout this book, we will go deep into the thinking and strategies needed to precisely do that. But first, let's take a closer look at what these technologies are, how they work, and just as importantly, what they are not. The four types of analytics. Although the field of data analytics is almost as old as the web, it has changed dramatically over the past decade. In fact, the terms AI and analytics are sometimes used interchangeably, which is a mistake. While data analytics can be greatly enhanced by AI and machine learning, it can also be employed without their use. Let's start by describing the four basic types of analytics. Descriptive analytics is the most basic, reviewing a mass of data to determine what happened historically and whether that history occurred 100 years ago or 5 minutes ago. Diagnostic analytics looks at repeating data points to determine the causal factors behind what happened, figuring out why it happened. Because they look at past events, these levels are considered hindsight. In business parlance, descriptive and diagnostic analytics are used to examine lagging indicators, as opposed to leading performance indicators. These can benefit from the use of big data and AI, of course, but they do not require them. With the third level, predictive analytics, we're getting into the heart of today's personalization economy. Predictive analytics reviews patterns of past activity in order to predict what an individual, a group, or a complex system will do in the future. This approach is not perfect because it's based on probability, not certainty. In the introduction, I recounted the example of the 2002 Oakland Athletics, where they successfully used a pre-AI predictive data model, sabermetrics, to hire lower-salaried players based on non-traditional performance measurements. Their reasoning was that while the data's predictions might not pan out in any single game, the team's statistical advantage would win out over the entire season. If a viable AI system had existed in the early 2000s, the Oakland data team may have done better. But even so, their model was successful enough. Finally, there is prescriptive analytics, which uses data to recommend solutions and draw conclusions that go beyond merely predicting results. This is where big data, AI, and machine learning are most often intertwined with the analytics process. For example, when an AI has enough unstructured data to identify patterns, and when it can be taught to assign meaning to those patterns, then it can develop the capacity to mimic human insight and reasoning. A prominent example of this is the case of IBM Watson, a question-answering system first developed in the mid-2000s. More recently, using a Watson-based oncology expert advisor tool, the project used a combination of machine learning and cancer research to make recommendations to clinicians. A more familiar example of this is any recommendation engine, such as that of Netflix or Amazon. When you're shopping on Amazon, after predictive analytics looks at your behavior patterns to determine what products you're likely to be interested in, prescriptive analytics selects the specific products to recommend to you based on the Amazon page you're on. It is also widely used in the healthcare industry, as we will explore in Chapter 3. While the technical specifics may be complex, the extraordinary implications of AI's power are clear. It can analyze enormous quantities of data, spot intricate patterns with billions of individual operations and data points, and recommend choices and products that not only meet customer needs, but anticipate them. In an age when personalization has become the key to success in any business, AI offers the power to personalize products and services for millions of customers automatically, in real time, and with exceptional accuracy. What AI can do. With trillions of bytes of data to learn from, ever-increasing processing speed and storage capacity, and the cloud providing high-speed internet connectivity from virtually anywhere, AI can already achieve an astonishing array of tasks. Here are some prominent examples. Google Duplex can manage appointments and make conversation with customers on the phone in realistic language. Major news organizations like The Washington Post and Reuters use AI to write basic news stories and real-time news updates, and sometimes more complex and creative pieces, freeing human journalists to focus on more in-depth reporting. Researchers at Loughborough University in England are developing a system based on deep learning that will detect and diagnose illnesses by smelling human breath. Other real-world AI examples include companies like Affectiva, developed in MIT's Media Lab in 2009, and Realize, a company that came out of Oxford University in 2007. They are developing artificial emotion intelligence, also known as affective computing, which uses sensors, cameras, and deep learning to interpret human emotional responses to everything from movies to educational programs. Some remote learning systems already use eye movement tracking and AI to assess students' engagement with a lesson. If it detects that a student appears frustrated or discouraged, the AI can modify the lesson in real time to make it easier. If the student appears bored, the system can instantly make the lesson more challenging. Then there is the array of visual, auditory, and motion processing needed to allow autonomous vehicles to operate safely. AI systems can actually see the world around them based on a massive, ever-growing catalog of objects and people. Because real-world driving demands the ability to adapt instantly and respond in real time to a near-infinite number of unpredictable variables, such as traffic, pedestrians, obstacles, weather, emergencies, and breakdowns, the AI that controls autonomous vehicles is not yet ready for prime time, but it is not far away. In December 2020, General Motors subsidiary Cruise began testing autonomous vehicles on the streets of San Francisco's busy, dense Sunset District, with the ultimate aim of decreasing motor vehicle deaths. It is safe to predict that within 10 years, a majority of the passenger traffic in major cities like New York, Tokyo, and Berlin could be controlled by AI, not to mention much of the cargo traffic crisscrossing the country. In other words, there is a great deal that AI can do when given sufficient data to learn about the customers, products, and services under a company's umbrella. If you run a home delivery company in a busy city, imagine AI computing optimal routes for your drivers to reach their destinations during rush hour, saving you time and fuel. If your company is engaging in a major campaign to reach new customers and increase market share, imagine an AI composing beautifully worded weekly e-newsletters to fresh leads and responding personally and uniquely to each reply or query. If you're in manufacturing, imagine a sensor-powered AI monitoring your equipment 24/7, predicting potential failures before they happen, diagnosing needed repairs, and automatically dispatching human engineers by text message to fix the problem, without interrupting your factory's operations. AI can automate repetitive tasks, identify actionable patterns in data, coordinate robotic process automation, RPA, and communicate instantly with millions of people. The potential is almost limitless. Big data. Big data is the fuel that powers artificial intelligence. Without enormous amounts of data to analyze and learn from, AI would consist of massive processing power with nothing to process. The two go hand in hand. As I described earlier, structured data are predictable and binary, the kind of data that systems commonly accumulate using forms and fields. Structured data largely consist of the kind of data points we think of as the contents of a database: names, email addresses, phone numbers, demographic information like age and gender, tax records, purchasing histories, and medical records. When the information age started in the 1960s and 1970s, huge companies like Oracle and IBM were all working with structured data. The world knew how to put the data in a structured format like you would use to put your data in an Excel sheet. Unstructured data challenged that infrastructure. It didn't just mean an exponential increase in new data, but a new type of data. Beginning in the 1990s, unstructured data exploded with the invention of the World Wide Web, first through walled garden services like America Online, and later when the web became ubiquitous thanks to consumer browsers like Netscape Navigator and Internet Explorer. Long before social media existed, the demands of processing unstructured data, such as images, video, and emails, began to overwhelm the computing capacity of big corporations and forced them to evolve new tools for processing and analyzing this torrent of new data. This is when the concept of big data came into its own. Even with faster systems, companies had to transition from regular databases that stored structured data in organized data warehouses to data lakes, vast pools of raw data dumped in unorganized formats. They had the challenge of finding a way to take all this raw, unstructured data and use it. Those leaders who understood the potential and started making sense of unstructured data early included Amazon, Netflix, and Apple. They took the lead because they understood that big data meant having a deep understanding of what customers wanted, needed, and cared about. And such knowledge was the key to the future. Big data has three basic facets. Data collection at scale. Companies and organizations collect data about their customers using every means possible to discover their preferences and activities, from cookies to online forms and surveys. Data processing / mining. Big data companies extract information from huge, complex data sets, often using algorithms or machine learning to read billions of data fields, draw inferences, and identify patterns. Analyzing and acting on data. Companies like Netflix determine the utility of their data, using them to do things like develop and refine new products, personalize product offerings, improve customer service, and/or increase the precision of marketing campaigns. Political campaigns use big data to micro-target messaging to specific voter demographics, for example, Cuban Americans or family farmers, based on those groups' historical voting patterns and areas of concern. Another way to view big data is by using the 3 V's model. Its sheer volume is only one factor. Equally important are its complex variety, from structured, easily classifiable information to unstructured, seemingly random bits, and its ever-increasing speed and direction, or velocity, at which it can be processed. Of course, there are other V factors to consider, including veracity and value, which we explore throughout this book. The potential of big data. Big data is most important for giving companies and organizations clarity about themselves, their customers or members, and the way forward. If you don't have a clear idea of where you're going, it's hard to build technology or a company. Big data gives you clear vision of inefficiencies in your business model, underserved corners of your market, products or services your customers are asking for, and areas where cost savings are possible. Once you have that big picture data, you can break it down into smaller pieces to execute on it to derive profits or organizational improvement. Let's suppose I am launching a new line of blue jeans in Boston, and my goal is to get a 20% revenue increase in that market over my previous products. I need to understand if my product will actually give me that increase. Most importantly, I need to understand the buying behavior of my target audience. This must be done with specific intent. What is true for one city may not work for another. I know from past data collection that the consumer most likely to buy the product I'm selling is a college graduate under age 25. That's a great start. Now I can use my database to home in on the specific buying patterns and product preferences of those people using resources like historical purchasing data and product and customer satisfaction surveys. My data tell me that my optimal customers are artistic people living in Cambridge and Charlestown between 23 and 28 years old, and that they are very interested in colored jeans, yellow, red, pink, green, and so on. Now I have a specific market segment for testing. So then I connect with that audience using AI. I'll have my system launch a digital marketing campaign using text messages with AI responses, AI-designed graphics shared on social media, AI-produced music clips, and perhaps environmental advertising using AI-generated messaging based on my data. All messages constantly being A/B tested by AI. This involves 2 alternative message sets with the results of each set tracked. Now I'm building a brand and starting to generate inbound sales traffic. I assess the effectiveness of everything, adapt, and keep moving. The biggest use cases in this scenario involve customer satisfaction and behavior, although such data can also be used for employee satisfaction, process improvement, and even inventory control. Big data helps you achieve clarity. Then you can set your goals: innovation, efficiency, a new brand, a new business model, or whatever else will achieve a multiplier effect. Then you can progress to activity, which could be refining operations, launching new products, or 100 other options. With the right data, you can feed it into an algorithm that will predict how more efficient operations will reduce your costs on an annualized basis, or how many units you're likely to move during the first quarter after your product launch. With big data guided by artificial intelligence and machine learning, business decisions need not be guided by gut instinct, bias, and emotion. And with the support of increasingly affordable devices and the cloud, big data can be utilized by nearly everyone. Robotics and smart devices. To put it simply, a robot is a machine that learns by analyzing real-time data and turns that learning into activity in the physical world, and occasionally the non-physical world. Like AI, robots are the subject of fear and misunderstanding fueled by popular fiction. But the reality is less dramatic and more promising for businesses and organizations. Robotics has been around since the 1950s, but the field did not take off at the time because of the missing components of big data and artificial intelligence. Today, big data-powered AI helps machines do useful things without human intervention. Robotic systems have now become more responsive and more like human behavior because now they have enough data on humans, plus the ability to process the data quickly and learn from it. As a result, we now have autonomous cars and Tesla manufacturing plants run entirely by robots. We have entire smart buildings in which the security and environmental systems monitor themselves and adjust automatically. We have smart watches, smart televisions, smart appliances, and smart thermostats, all part of something known as the Internet of Things, or IoT. We also have literal anthropomorphic robots like Sophie, which can hold realistic conversations, or embodieds Moxie, which helps improve the social and emotional skills of elementary school-aged children, or the Tombot Jenny, a hyper-realistic emotional support robot puppy for seniors that behaves like a real dog. Despite our apprehensions and the fact that robots have not attained widespread popularity, their benefits are undeniable. Robotic applications have demonstrated their benefits in healthcare, transportation, home appliances, and elsewhere, and are likely to continue doing so, without causing an apocalypse. Of course, the field is not limited to devices with a mechanical or motorized aspect. Smartphones, tablets, and wearable devices, even ordinary PCs, each have a robotic component. That is, they all use big data and AI to collect data on human behavior, and in many cases, process the results to meet the needs of the humans who use them. For example, a mobile device's GPS-aware wireless signal and its built-in accelerometer supply a constant stream of data that, when processed using AI, simplifies and/or directs our activity. One example is the Health app, pre-installed on many smartphones, which can measure steps taken in a day and even record vital statistics to analyze health-related trends over time. Such devices also constantly record our purchasing decisions and other activities, creating a massive store of data that can be utilized to benefit those who understand its value. Even internet-connected home appliances, security systems, and temperature control systems collect and utilize vast amounts of data to support human decisions and/or make them autonomously. In every meaningful sense, our personal smart devices are robots. You could even consider Amazon's fully autonomous Go retail stores to be robot environments. Customers download the Amazon Go app, present a QR code for scanning as they walk into the store, grab what they want off the shelves, and walk out as the store's automated system debits their accounts. No humans required. The implications are clear. We are bringing robotics and smart devices together with AI and the power of big data to address hundreds of thousands of disparate human and business needs. The biggest use cases have been in manufacturing and healthcare. Robots are assisting the aging population with everything from easing the pain of isolation and performing physical therapy to communicating and ensuring medication compliance. Robotic surgery assisted by AI is also quickly becoming a reality. In manufacturing, we have robotic process automation, in which thousands of mundane functions of a manufacturing or fabrication facility are controlled and monitored by AI, including robotic assembly and even robots repairing damaged or malfunctioning systems. Robots help improve processes, reduce errors, and even control a substantial amount of traffic in consumer financial services, the so-called robo-advisor. Robotics and smart devices are where real change can happen in business, because this is where big data and AI can have an effect on the physical world. For example, companies begin to see cost savings and higher profits when they put their data to work designing improved control surfaces that make aircraft more fuel efficient. The same happens when they use sensor-rich drones that can handle delivery of smaller parcels instead of humans driving in gas-guzzling trucks. Similarly, efficiency increases when they employ AI systems that enable customer service chatbots to handle 90% of incoming support calls, allowing them to cut payroll or assign customer service reps to more complex issues that require human attention. A powerful example of robot-assisted consumer protection occurred during the COVID-19 pandemic. Many smaller businesses found that their survival depended on being able to deliver packages, food, or supplies directly to people's homes. The trouble was, package thieves figured this out as well, and so-called porch pirate theft incidents skyrocketed. However, some small companies came up with a solution using smart devices. Knowing that most new cars since 2017 have onboard apps that allow smartphones to activate basic functions, these businesses made their customers a proposal. When you place an order, we'll send you a text message asking for permission to unlock your personal vehicle using a single-use code. If the customer agreed, after an order was placed, a company driver would approach the customer's car or SUV wherever it was parked, unlock it using this one-time-only code, place the customer's order in the cargo area, and close and relock the vehicle. The code would expire so it could never be used again, and the company would know the identity of the delivery person and the precise time they were at the vehicle. The customer would get their no-contact order securely. It was a brilliant solution to a global problem. With improvements such as smaller, lighter robots and devices, better AI, smaller microprocessors, and ever greater stores of data, we're entering a cyclical system where technology becomes ever more useful. Big data systems continue to capture and catalog quintillions of data points. Ever more sophisticated and powerful AI algorithms and neural nets analyze that data, learning to better identify areas of hidden value and predict human needs. Robots and smart devices respond to those needs with a speed and anticipation that seems prescient at times. By interacting with consumers, business-to-business customers, and the environment, smart devices collect still more data, and the cycle continues. Advanced machines are changing the game. The biotech company Medtronic is one example of a business that has leveraged the versatility of robotics to achieve quantum leap growth. The impact of the COVID-19 pandemic has made distance medicine a must-have capability for many hospitals and surgical centers, and robot-assisted surgery, RAS, is at the core of that capability. Medtronic's soft tissue robotics system, Hugo, has begun to encroach on the market share of leader incumbent Intuitive Surgical, positioning Medtronic to not only show 37% sales growth in the fourth quarter of its current fiscal year, but to anticipate $100 million to $300 million in annual revenue from RAS by fiscal year 2023. The company also plans to spend more on R&D than at any time in its history. In other words, advanced AI-enabled robotics has taken Medtronic from a fringe player in remote medicine to a change agent. It would be hard to find a better example of the power of AI and smart devices to take a brand from unknown to global player status than the former Nest Labs. Co-founded by former Apple engineers Tony Fadell and Matt Rogers, the company rolled out its flagship product in 2011, the Nest Learning Thermostat. Programmable, connected to the cloud via Wi-Fi, sensor-equipped, and capable of learning user preferences from behavior patterns, the Nest became a sensation, spawning related products such as smart smoke detectors and security cameras, and establishing the idea of the smart home in the public consciousness. It was the direct progenitor of smart speaker devices like Amazon's Alexa. But the proof of the transformative wealth-creating power of smart devices came in 2014, when Google bought the 150-employee Nest Labs for $3.2 billion. Today, the Nest brand lives on in Google Nest devices, including Mesh home Wi-Fi systems and the Google Home smart speaker. Not bad for a 4-year-old startup. Cloudy with a chance of profit. Connecting that entire technological ecosystem, that virtuous cycle of learning, information, and efficiency, is the internet in the form of cloud computing. Cloud computing makes vast data processing power available remotely by using a vast array of internet-connected servers. So instead of having to physically host their own AI, which would be impossible given the size of the computers needed to process all the data, robots and real-time AI systems like Siri and Alexa can connect nearly instantaneously to remote servers and processors, which handle the heavy lifting of analyzing data and sending instructions to sensors, servos, and other physical systems. The cloud is about making processing speed, computational power, data structure, and complicated analysis available to any organization without a huge investment in infrastructure. The best example of this is Amazon Web Services, AWS, which accounts for 32% of the public cloud market. AWS, Microsoft, and other cloud providers serve online businesses by making their robust data backend easily available to companies anywhere in the world for an affordable price. Mid-sized companies benefit from the cloud because they no longer need large data centers. The cloud is perfect for powering IoT devices, from farm irrigation sensors to home security systems to smart toothbrushes, because those devices often use Wi-Fi or even 5G wireless connectivity to send and receive relatively small amounts of data quickly. Where the cloud isn't performing well enough is in big data environments. The processing speed and data infrastructure simply isn't there. Yet. In the early 2000s, Apache Hadoop was developed as an open-source framework to make big data computation possible. It was originally on massive local computer clusters, but was eventually replaced by cloud computing. The promise was that unstructured data would go into the cloud and be processed at a higher speed, but the infrastructure to handle all that unstructured data remotely is not quite there. The cloud's promise of connectivity and access to data anywhere is not completely fulfilled. Yet. However, as Moore's Law continues to play out and with the development of quantum computing, processing speeds will continue their inexorable rise and storage capacity will continue to grow. Eventually, the cloud's utility will extend to operations at nearly any scale. Think like Tesla and Amazon. Elon Musk's Tesla has long been at the bleeding edge of utilizing the cloud's potential. It is no exaggeration to state that without its use of the cloud, Tesla would be just another electric car maker. For years, Tesla's driver profiles have been stored within its vehicles, allowing drivers to program all of their preferred configurations for seat position, music settings, mirrors, and other equipment. Each driver profile is either linked to a driver's smartphone via the Tesla app or the Tesla key itself, which allows the vehicle to sense the presence of the driver and reconfigure the car according to the desired settings. Now that capacity is being transferred to the cloud via the Tesla network. This will not only enable the storage of more driver data and media, but it will also allow Tesla to use cloud-based algorithms to guide and train autonomous vehicles. Data for Tesla's AI system will also come from the ride-sharing service the company hopes to launch in 2022 to compete with Uber and Lyft. Amazon Web Services, AWS, is another great example. In the early 2000s, Amazon's IT team decided that the way to deal with fast-growing seasonal e-commerce traffic and other bottlenecks was to focus on a fast, reliable, cheap architecture. In 2006, AWS was opened to the public, allowing developers to access on-demand cloud computing quickly and cheaply as the backend for stores, media sites, gaming sites, and more. Over the past 15 years, Amazon's e-commerce as a service platform has evolved into EC2, a virtual machine service, Glacier, a low-cost cloud storage service, and the S3 storage system. Today, AWS accounts for about 63% of total operating income. That's not just cloud. It's a bolt of lightning. Learn from Tesla and Amazon. Migrate your business to the cloud. Forget hosting a big data environment in-house. Start collecting your data and using the remote power of cloud computing and AI to understand what your data are telling you, to innovate, create efficiencies, or use the latest technologies like IoT, robotics, and analytics to figure out the implications of your data for your business. Then you can apply that insight appropriately to your business use cases, instead of sitting back and waiting for change to happen and ultimately falling behind. Consider Netflix and Starbucks and the examples described in the next chapter. In the end, their rise isn't about technology. It's about more than business intelligence. It's about the impact of AI and related technology in applying the insights that the data give them and acting accordingly. It goes back to strategic thinking. When Netflix did what it did, streaming was primitive. Data processing speed was lower. Their algorithm wasn't as good. That didn't matter because they knew the questions to ask and the business problems they were trying to address. The good news is that you can ask those questions too.